You're the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari, Season 1, Episode 43. Hi, I'm Randy Cantrell. Welcome to the Year of the Peer Podcast with Leo Battari. This podcast is based on a simple truth. Who you surround yourself with matters. Author and keynote speaker Leo Battari will interview thought leaders from all walks of life who will share how they leverage peer advantage and show you how engaging your peers more purposefully can hold the key to greater success in business and in life. Today's guest is Peter Shankman. Peter is a multiple startup founder with several successful exits under his belt. He is the founder of Help a Reporter Out, the world's largest source journalist matching tool. Peter also runs Shank Minds Breakthrough, a private online entrepreneur community with hundreds of members around the world. He is also the host of a podcast, Faster Than Normal, a leading ADD-ADHD podcast and best-selling book, focused on the benefits of being gifted with ADD-HD. He can be found at shankman.com. We welcome Peter to the show.
Peter Shankman, welcome to Year of the Peer. It's so great to have you here. This is something that I've been looking forward to for many months now, to be able to have you on the show because, you know, in so many respects, given all the work you do, there's really no one I know who probably understands this concept better about who you surround yourself with matters and how bringing people together, whether it's reporters and experts, as you did so famously with, Help a Reporter Out, to all the work you continue to do today. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So I want to get started a little bit by, you know, obviously people, identify you with Help a Reporter Out, but certainly your work is broader than that. But I'd love you, if you could, to talk about Help a Reporter Out, but then talk a little bit about the work you're doing right now and give us, I think, a broader sense of what you're about.
Sure. I sold Harrow about 7 years ago. The basic premise behind Harrow was connecting journalists with sources all around the world, which sort of allowed journalists to do their job better and easier and allowed sources to get in the media without having to hire or pay large agencies. The tagline still is everyone's an expert at something, and that still tends to ring true. So I was very fortunate with Harrow. I was acquired by a company that, through multiple acquisitions, wound up becoming PR Newswire. So I, which is ironic because they threatened to sue me when I first launched the company. So, you know, it's funny how things work. But what am I currently doing? So I'm doing several things. I've written several business books. I run a mastermind group that about 200 people on it. In it, the focus is on from startups to about 3 or 4 years into their company, brainstorming, accountability, things like that. That's called Shank Minds. And then recently I pivoted a little bit. Now I work on, one of the things I do is I wrote a book and I have a very successful podcast called Faster Than Normal, which focuses on ADHD, ADD and ADHD as a gift, not as a curse. I believe that a lot of my success is due to the fact that that I have ADHD and I've used it to my advantage.
Well, so one question out of personal curiosity, I'll get started with Help a Reporter Out. When you introduced that service, it wasn't as if there were no competitors in the marketplace. You obviously saw an opening, you saw a gap. Why was it so successful? Why were you able to connect? Because I think Profnet had been in the marketplace for a number of years, things like that. So how were you able to just really make a difference there and connect with both reporters and experts alike?
Well, my premise was taking it as a free service. You know, there were companies out there that charged a fortune, and I believe that it should have to. I believe you shouldn't have to pay for it. It should be free. This was the age of the freemium, and so when I launched it, my belief was I could connect journalists and sources together better than they had been connected in the past, and it was very successful very quickly. So I think that kind of worked.
Well, that's great. What And I guess what prompted you to even start that at the time? What do you remember kind of the day that you thought, you know, yes, there's this gap there and I want to make sure that you're the one to solve the problem?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to everyone. It's a part of my ADHD is that if you're on a plane next to me, unless you fake your death, I don't know everything about you by the time we land. And, you know, that sort of comes from my life and what I've worked on. So I'm very good at being able to focus where I know people, how I know them, and what I can take and how I can help them. And so, you know, I'd always been doing connecting people just on principle. That's what I do. And when I realized there was probably a better way to do it, you know, it was getting to the point where there were so many people who were calling me saying, hey, how can I connect? It helped reporters sort of found it out of that. And it became sort of a no-brainer, as it were. And the irony, of course, is that I would have done it anyway. You know, I like helping people. I think it's a nice thing to do. It's good karma.
You know, so other than the people that may sit next to you in the plane from time to time, who are some of the people that you think along the way have been influential for you, who have maybe put you in that mindset of wanting to be helpful, for example, or, you know, who have influenced you in other ways in terms of your life and in your business?
Yeah. I mean, obviously my mom and dad, they had their hands full raising me. God knows that was not easy. And they came out shining stars out of that. I'm very grateful. I'm very, very thankful they're both still in my lives. I was fortunate. My first job, my bosses included Steve Case and Ted Leonsis, and they taught me a lot when I worked at America Online. I learned so much from them. And then just various people in the industry, people who have been able to learn from, men, women, in any position, really. You know, my belief is that everyone in the world knows something that you don't. And if you just simply stop and take the time to listen to what they have, you know, you can learn a lot about it. And the problem is that we tend to talk a lot more than we listen. And if you simply sit down and listen to what other people have to say, without simply trying to wait for a break so you can say what you want to say, you'll find that you'll learn a lot. And then, so I've been very fortunate. I learned that at an early age. And, you know, I was pretty much a socially awkward growing up, a social screw up. So it's still, I don't think that's changed, but I think I've learned a little bit more about how to listen and how to embrace that.
So how can we be better listeners? You know, most of us, I think, find ourselves sometimes being guilty of, you know, formulating our response while someone else is talking, as opposed to really listening for understanding or listening for, you know, listening without judgment about, you know, that. I mean, how would you recommend others try to take a breath and be a better listener?
Well, it's funny, for me, it actually goes back to breathing. I focus on my breathing, and I focus on listening to my breath when I am listening to someone else. I focus on. I find that if I follow my breath and I try to keep a steady line of breathing, and I'm not, you know, inhaling to say something, that tends to help, because I tend to focus on really sort of taking in what they're saying, and that's tremendously beneficial.
Yeah, kind of breathing in the air, taking in the information, kind of in the same way. I mean, do you think?
No question about it.
Yeah. So I'd like to talk a bit about, and I want to spend some bit of time on this because I'm very interested in Shank Minds, how it got started, what it's about, and I'd love to get a sense of really how it works. And let's kind of crawl inside that a little bit.
Yeah. So I have I talk to everyone, and a lot of people have always come to me and say, hey, can I pick your brain about something? Can I bother you for this or that? Can I get 10 minutes with you? And I'm always willing to give it, because I think it's the right thing to do. I think it's, if you've had any modicum of success, you have a responsibility to send the elevator back down. And so I've always been a fan of giving back and offering help any way that I can. But problem is, there's only 24 hours in a day. And over time, that was really getting to the point where it was pretty difficult to give back as much as I wanted to. And so I came up with this concept. Originally, it was a multiple city event where I'd hold different events in different cities, and people would come and we'd spend the day and we'd brainstorm. And I realized the better way to do that would be to do it online with occasional in-person events. So the online premise became Shank Minds, and it's an online group, a forum of, like I said, close to 200 people, maybe a little more right now. And we help each other. So, you know, it could be something as simple. Someone will post something in the group. Hey, I need an accountant who specializes in X, or I need a working with whatever who does this. And, you know, over time, what would happen is I would be able to grow that. I grew that community full of trusted people. And what's awesome is that they're people I totally do trust and do believe in and you know, would trust with my life. I'd ask them questions. I ask them questions about my business. They ask me questions. So it's all one of those things where we are able to work with each other and create sort of this trusted network that not only is for, hey, I need advice on this or I need a person for that, but more importantly is about the premise of accountability. You know, and that could be accountability. And guys, hey, I need to charge more on this net. Please make sure I charge, you know, I'm going to come to you, remind me, help me. Or, hey, I need to get up early and, you know, go to the gym. Can someone call me at 5 a.m.? You know, and it's wonderful because it's, I think we live in somewhat of a lonely world. And so having a group of people, I think is very beneficial for that.
So I'm assuming this online aspect of this runs asynchronously, right? Like I can post something at 9 o'clock at night, and then when I get up in the morning, maybe someone
will
respond, correct? So how do these people get to know one another? I mean, do they post profiles? Do they engage them? How do you create the trust oftentimes that people would be willing to put a question out there to these 200 people and feel you know, and feel good about doing that?
Well, there's definitely one aspect of it in that every person who joins has to be approved, right? So you can't simply join up. Everyone has to be approved, which is great. You know, and they
by?
Myself and a team.
Okay.
So they're approved by myself and several people who are in the group already. And, you know, if you're joining a mastermind, the premise is you have to want to get involved, right? Because the worst thing is, you know, I have the belief anyway, that you have to sort of you have to give out 10 times the amount of help that you ask for every one time you ask for help in the universe, right? So you put out 10 for every one. And so we're looking for people who do the same. We're looking for people who work that kind of the same belief that helping is beneficial. And we've done, from that, we've created this sort of very, very good group that thrills me to be a part of it. You know, we have in-person events as well. We have them all over the country about 4 or 5 times a year. And people, what's nice is people who join the group, they become friends with people in the group and they create their own in-person events, right? It's like, hey guys, I'm going to be in Atlanta for work. Who wants to have dinner? And like 7 people will show up and join this one person for dinner. It's great. I feel like I've created something that's really nice.
You know, I also think that going into it with the mentality, as you suggest, that you want to give 10 times what your expectation will be. I think that if you do that, you will actually get 10 times the return for whatever you,
no question.
You know, and that's the beauty of it. And to me, you know, when people can crawl inside this idea of what it can mean when you give to others and how much that matters. I mean, every time we teach or we provide an answer or we, you know, share our experiences, we not only embed, you know, our own learning, you know, we certainly help others and, we so help ourselves along the way every time we do that.
Agreed completely. Could not agree more. And you know, the nice thing is that it's not forced. The people who really want to do this, those are the people who matter. You know, those are the people that it's a good thing to do.
So if in your group, so we've got 200 people, you know, where are they from? What's kind of the range of people that are in this group in terms of the size businesses they own, their, like I said, their geography, all of that?
They vary. You know, there are some, we have United States, obviously, we have Canada, Europe, Japan, South Africa, South America, Australia, and they vary. They are people everywhere from you know, people just starting their first company, a few people who are still working full time but want to make that jump, all the way to people who have started and sold several companies already. And you know, the nice thing about that is that you think, oh, well, they just must be in there to give advice. You'd be amazed what someone who's hasn't sold their first company yet, what kind of advice they can give to someone who sold several of them, because they're seeing things entirely differently, right? And that's a huge factor. You look at the world out there, and you see people who are, in a way, they get a little jaded. You know, they've sold a few companies. They don't really have that level of that level of creativity.
That wonder.
So, right, that wonder, exactly. So to have these people who haven't done that come in and say, well, what about doing this? You know, that's huge.
That is really good. So you've got a broad range of people. So this idea that when I'm putting a question out and I've got 200 people and there's a lot of diversity in there, that somebody, or in cases I'm sure most often, many people will be able to respond and offer a perspective that can be, you know, extremely helpful to any question I might be able to pose out there, correct?
No question about it. Yeah. And the nice thing is also, you know, you see masterminds that are, you know, $1,000 a month or sure. 25,000 a year or whatever. I understand, you know, when I sold Harrow, so many people came to say, hey, you should join our mastermind. It's 50 grand a year. And I'm like, if I wanted to spend 50 grand a year, I really doubt I'd need your mastermind, you know? And so I wound up creating this one, and it's $79 a month, which in New York City is about 7 lattes. And it was done deliberately because I didn't want people to be afraid to join.
Well, that's great. And, you know, whenever you can take away that barrier to entry, obviously, and people, you know that you're there for the purpose of it. In fact, someone was talking the other day, and they were talking about if you put the mission before the commission, you're going to, you know, win out every time. And it seems like that's been a rather consistent way that you've approached, you know, the businesses. It's really about what am I trying to accomplish in terms of who I can serve first. And then whatever, you know, benefits, and as we know, a lot of the currencies that we receive like this aren't just financial. They come in many forms. And, you know, it's just great to see that. So we've got this asynchronous group, great diversity. What are kind of the rules of engagement? Do you ever run into situations where anyone's either worried about confidentiality or you've got people who may post a response to a question that's a little snarky or, you know, anything like that? How do you go about trying to maintain the kind of environment that invites participation, invites people to ask the tough questions other than just, hey, who can you connect me with?
I think the majority of the rules of engagement are sort of made up by the members as we go along. You know, I'm a big fan of one of the universe's best rules, which is simply don't be a dick. You know, be a good person and help people whenever you can. And so that's the primary rule. But yeah, I mean, the obvious applies, you know, what's said there stays there. And that's what's nice is that people do abide by those rules. And so it's a very safe space for entrepreneurs.
So you mentioned that in addition to the online portion is this, there are live events too. How does that happen? Where do you have them? How do you bring people together? Do you in fact at the live events provide any kind of streaming, you know, opportunity for people who are in Japan and maybe they can't make it to New York or wherever the event is? And I would love to hear more about the live event and you know, what it looks like and what you hope to accomplish during that live event.
So our next live event is January 24th. You can find it at shankminds.com/NYC. And it's a New York City event with 75 people attending. And we do live stream it. We video the majority of it for our members. But primarily, we do masterminding that we put 7 people or 8 people around a table. Each person gets 20 minutes or 22 minutes, 3 minutes on the hot seat where they get to explain their business. And then 19 minutes to answer questions about that. So, you know, here's my business. Here's what I do. Here's this one big thing that's really sticking with me that I can't seem to get past. How can you, you know, I'd love advice. And then 19 minutes of people giving advice back to them on that. So, you know, that's great. We do roundtables around that. We have a couple of keynote speakers and we have, you know, some other special guests, and it's a full day. And again, you know, I try to keep it at a price point that's beneficial for people. So, you know, if you're not a member, it's $6.99. If you are a member, it's $3.49. And, it's, you know, the goal really isn't for me to make money on it. The goal for me is to help more people. And, so yeah, we should sell out. We're about halfway sold out right now. And we have about, I think, 85 days till it goes live.
You know, for 8 years, I taught in a graduate program for Seton Hall University. It was a Master of Arts in Strategic Communication and Leadership program. It was about 18 months. Most of it was everyone working in an asynchronous environment online, and they saw each other 3 times, once at the beginning, kind of once in the middle, and once at the end. I was always astounded, really, at how the relationships developed and how close people got, even though they spent very little, in many cases, sometimes not much time at all together in person. What does that look like? I would imagine your group, you kind of see a lot of that in the same way, that you get some real closeness and some real relationships develop, you know, even though they're not seeing each other every week or every month or anything like that.
No question about it. You know, and what's nice is that thanks to online, you know, they really do blossom and people do stay in touch. We've had, not a day goes by where someone doesn't post in the group about the success they've had by meeting someone else and working with them. And it's a nice feeling. It's nice to know that I've created that and I've helped build and facilitate that. It's a good feeling.
Is there a particular story that may come to mind, and of course, not mentioning names or anything, just to preserve the confidentiality of it, where a member put something out to the group and you felt like really got incredible benefit from that?
Yeah, we had a member who was desperately trying. She was about to write off a client who owed her a lot of money and just wasn't paying. And she'd done everything. She called lawyers, and the lawyer's like, you know, it's going to cost too much if you go ahead. And a couple of other members gave her another idea that was essentially reaching out to them and seeing, you know, digging past the non-payment and figuring out where that was coming from, what was causing it. And not only did she wind up getting paid, but she wound up getting a ton more business for them because she solved a problem for them that she didn't have to do. You know, at that point, she didn't really have to do anything for them, solved a problem for them and really sort of changed their entire business around. And, you know, so it was nice to see that the concept of just looking past the symptoms, seeing the bigger picture there. And it really came to pass, and it benefited everyone in that capacity.
It's funny you mentioned that, you know, because earlier you talked about this whole idea of being a good listener and listening for understanding. And that's a great example of kind of, here's this contentious situation. Somehow people are open to a conversation where you dig deeper, you want to learn more. And next thing you know, not only is the issue resolved, but there was some real trust rebuilt, I would imagine, on both sides of this thing that is now you sustained that relationship and created something, something new really for the client.
And that really is the nice thing about it is, you know, we're creating this world where people can get involved and help and do things that benefit others and themselves. And that's that works out really nicely.
Yeah, sure does. That's great stuff. Let's pivot a little bit to, I know you do a lot in the way of, speaking. Corporate events. Would love to know some of the hot topics you're talking about right now and why at this time you think they're particularly important.
Yeah, so one of the things I'm definitely following is the concept of sort of the ADHD workforce and ADHD workplace, in the respect that studies have come out that said in the next 10 years, 4 out of every 10 employees are going to have some form of ADD, ADHD, OCD, somewhere on that neuroatypical level. And as well as 4 out of 10 customers or clients are going to have the same thing. So companies really need to learn sort of how to deal and how to work with both customers and their employees. And so, you know, that becomes this bigger question of how are companies looking to do that. So I'm doing a lot of speaking to big corporations on that. And I'm also working on a lot of talking on the customer economy, which is what I've been talking about for years, sort of combining those two. So it's beneficial. I'm doing a lot more speaking. I'm speaking tomorrow to the Georgia Governor's Tourism Conference. The following week, I'm the keynote at PubCon in Las Vegas. I'm speaking in London the following week. So it's I'm very fortunate. I'm having a lot of good times and it's a lot of fun.
You know, the ADHD and ADD, OCD, as you said, is this something that we're just better at identifying and diagnosing, if you will, today? And has it always been there? Is it more prevalent today for some reason? What? Tell us a little bit about that.
I think there is it's definitely more prevalent. The fact that we're all attached to one or more devices 24 hours a day is not helping. We are looking at a world that is intrinsically more dopamine focused, i.e. we get excitement once we get we hear that ding and we check our text message. Ooh, a text, ooh, an IM, ooh, you know, and that's actually one of the reasons, sadly, that we don't, that the majority of us, we say it's terrible to text while driving, but we still do it. In a ridiculous way, and the problem is that we spend all our time doing that because we get that dopamine hit, right? So we obviously shouldn't be doing that. And the key there is that we need to focus on not only taking time to not do things like that, but focus on taking time to disconnect and understand that our brains can get back to a normal level. You know, for me, it's very important for me to focus on, exercise first thing I wake up. I wake up, I usually get up around 4 a.m. because I need to get exercise before I start my day. I simply can't not do that. It has to happen. And so understanding that it has to happen allows me to get that out of my system, get the dopamine hit, get the rest. It allows me to then go into the office and focus, right? Or, you know, I understand where my best sort of workplace environment is, and that for me is actually on a plane. So again, it's knowing your body, knowing what happened. You know, we didn't diagnose strep throat 200 years ago because penicillin didn't exist. We didn't know what the hell it was, right? So just because something, didn't exist 100 years ago didn't mean it wasn't there.
Right.
And so the problem is now is we also have a lot of medication to treat it. And you know, a lot of times, what's my favorite quote? Having a headache doesn't mean you have an aspirin deficiency, right? And so, you know, sometimes we're giving 5-year-olds amphetamines because they're acting like they're 5. And so I'm not anti-med, but I'm also, I don't believe that it should be the first line of defense. The first line of defense for kids, you know, might be instead of giving them 2 bowls of chocolate frosted sugar bombs every morning, giving them some eggs and some protein. And instead of then sitting in front of the TV until it's time to go to school, you know, letting them run around early at school. And more schools are starting to do this. There was a school district in Texas that tripled the amount of resets the kids got over the course of a day. So they went to 60 minutes from 20, and 54%, they saw a decrease of 54% in ADHD outbursts, and more importantly, saw a 48% increase in girls taking part in the class, speaking out and getting involved, which is huge. So, you know, sometimes the simplest things are better than billions of dollars worth of pharma.
So what are the implications? And I'm assuming in your talk, you know, you'll be in front of business leaders. So what are the implications for leaders? You know, here's this thing to your point that maybe we didn't have language for, we didn't have identified. That doesn't mean it wasn't there. Today we can identify it, but we have language around it. We have things that we can think about and watch for. What are the implications of that? So to your point earlier also, that we don't see this as some kind of deficit. We actually see it as something special, as something that can really be, you know, harnessed in our workplace.
Well, that's the thing, is I really get a benefit from it. I know that having ADD, ADHD actually benefits me and helps me. And so because of that, I know what I have to do with it. I have to be aware of how I use it. I have to be aware of, but again, it comes with rules. You know, I joke that I have two speeds in my life. Those two speeds are namaste and I'll cut a bitch. And there's no middle ground there, right? I don't have a middle place to go. So because of that, I'm very aware of sort of how I live my life. Again, like the exercising early is one thing, but additionally, you know, I will go and I will, I have two sides to my closet. When you look at my closet, one side is t-shirts and jeans, and it's literally labeled. It says office or travel. The other side says speaking or TV, and it's button-down shirts, jackets, and jeans. And that's it. My sweaters, my vests, my gorgeous suits, all that stuff are in another closet in another room, because if I had to wake up in the morning and think about what to wear and have to make those decisions more than just t-shirt and jeans or button-down shirt and jeans, oh, that sweater. I remember that sweater. Laura gave me that sweater. I wonder how she's doing. I should look her up. It's 3 hours later. I'm naked in the living room on Facebook and I haven't left the house, right? What benefit does that serve? So you have to sort of set up these life rules for yourself that allow you to understand how things work. And so for me, you know, that's pretty key. I'd say another big one for me, you know, understanding that I do the best when I can eliminate choice, when I can eliminate thinking like that. You know, I don't drink. I quit drinking a while back, not because I was a drunk who was going and doing stupid shit every single day, but because, again, those two speeds. I don't want one drink. I want 9 drinks. not because I want to get drunk, but because they're in front of me. And I drink water the same way. I drink pizza. I eat pizza the same way. I've never in my life had something called leftover pizza. That's not a thing for me, right? I order a pizza, I eat the pizza. And so you need to be very aware of how you live and what you do and sort of what can help you and what can hurt you, and take steps accordingly.
Well, it seems that one of the things you identified, even with the pizza example, when you talk about how it benefits you, is you finish what you start. So that can be a really good thing, obviously, when and how important that is. In what other ways does it benefit you, other than, you know, this idea that you will finish what you start? What else?
I think for me, I can't. I'm trying to remember the quote. You can't do your best for other people until you are able to do the best for you. And right. So again, I've had to learn what works the best for me and how I can use that to my advantage. And you know, again, it's eating healthy, it's exercising, it's doing all those things that might seem pretty boring. But I know that I've said this before, and I'm not joking. On any given day, I believe I'm 3 bad decisions in a row away from being a junkie in the streets. And so understanding that, and not that I've ever had a drug problem or anything like that, but understanding that, I don't let myself get to that first step, right? So I'm constantly aware of the line I'm walking and how I'm walking it.
You know, which brings me to a kind of interesting point, makes me think about in the mastermind group you're involved with. Are you a participant in that mastermind group?
Oh, God, yeah, every day.
The other members? Great.
No question about it. Yeah,
so you can't find, and you get a lot of support out of that as well, correct?
Yeah, I don't feel like I can walk the walk without, or talk the talk without walking the walk. I have to be a part of it. No question about it.
Great. So, two other things before we run. One is, you know, as you know, talked all year really about this idea of who you surround yourself with matters and the value of the people that we have around us and the difference they can make in our lives. You know, one of the things that I'm working on right now kind of comes off of a quote. It was years ago that I read from Joe Henderson, who used to write from Runner's World. And Joe Henderson, you know, talked about the fact that, you know, when you look at a lot of people that are really successful, it isn't because they're capable of superhuman feats and they can do things that no one else in the world can do. In fact, in many cases, they just do the things that anyone can do, but most of us just don't.
Exactly.
So, you know, when I think about that and I think about, boy, if we could surround ourselves with people who could help us do those things that anyone can do more often, that would be really powerful and really beneficial. I'd love to get your kind of thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've yet to meet anyone in the world who lives in a certain spot on the earth that rotates around the sun faster than the spot I am on does. And as such, I'm pretty sure we all have the same 24 hours, right? It's how we choose to use them. And the issue there is that you need to make sure that you are using those 24 hours wisely. You know, it's funny, every once in a while, someone will leave Shank Minds and they'll say, hey, you know, I really enjoy what you build and I really found it useful. I just don't have the time. Okay, well, here's the thing. When you say you don't have the time, you're kind of insulting the other 200 members who have made the time. You don't have the priority. And that's fine, but let's call it what it is. Not having the priority is totally different. If you don't have the priority, that kind of means, okay, what else is important, right? If you want something you want, you have to give up something else to get it. That goes without saying. What do you want and what are you willing to give up to get it? I like getting up super early to get to the, I'm at the gym at 5:30 when the door opens, right? I'm on my Peloton bike, or if I'm not working out at the gym, I have my daughter half the week. If I'm not at the gym because my daughter's with me, then I'm on my bike at 4 a.m. on the Peloton. What do I give up for that? Well, I give up going out late at night. I give up staying out late. I give up late night TV binging. And you know what? That's a decision I've made because it's more important to me to do those things. And so that's huge. And so it's not that you don't have the time. It's that you don't have the, you don't have the desire or the priority to make it.
Yeah. And I've certainly run across that through peer groups, and I've seen it quite a bit. And I think the irony of it, of course, is that the person who says that they don't have the time for it is most likely the person who needs the group the most.
No question about it. You know, but again, you can't convince people, right? Yeah. They have to come to their own decision.
Exactly. So finally, I'd love for you to just let everyone know how they can learn more about you. If there's anything you've got coming up next that you want to make our listeners aware of, I'd love for you to share that. But, you know, again, I think I look at this podcast as something that I hope is just a starter, you know, for people who may not be as familiar with you as I hope they will become. And so tell us a little bit about what either, you know, both in terms of what's next and how they can learn more about you.
And that's a great way to look at any podcast or anything you do, actually, is just to start to connect other people. My life is at shankman.com. The mastermind, Shank Minds, is at shankminds.com. The book, Faster Than Normal, and the podcast, both in the same name, fasterthannormal.com. I'm at Peter Shankman on all the socials, and I answer all my own email. It's kind of required. I don't think you can call yourself any kind of person who likes to work with people if you can't answer your own email. So,
well, look, thank you for answering our call to be on the podcast. I will tell you that we, you know, really appreciate your time and wish you the best for the rest of this year. And I look forward to following you next year.
My pleasure. Always happy to come on.
All right. You have a great one. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about Peer Advantage, to submit questions to Leo and our guest, and to subscribe to the Year of the Peer podcast, please visit us at leobattari.com. That's leobottari.com. This podcast is produced by me, Randy Cantrell. Hosted, of course, by Leo Battari. Music provided by Kevin McLeod, Vibe Ace. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.